Yeah, we love you, Julie. What an amazing, Rika, thank you for being here. Man, how blessed are we? We've got our own personal fireball right here, man. Woo, Julie, girl.
It's a love ball.
It's a love ball, that's right. Man, y'all are tight today. Sounds so good. Thank you. So I love you. Want to start there today. You know, we could talk about this all year. We could talk about it every single Sunday. And I would never run out of ideas to bring you because they keep growing. And I would never run out of a resource material because everybody wants to talk about love. Everybody has explored love for centuries, forever. And if we're not expanding our ideas about love, then we're stuck, and we're going to miss out on the goodness of life if we're not continuing to expand what love is about. I'm watching now the second flock of baby barn swallows take off from the nest. So, you know, I've given up on my front porch. It's okay. It's okay for now. And I watch these parents come back and lay a new nest of eggs, and I'm pretty sure there's going to be a third one before it's all over. And so I get to watch these babies, you know, the little hungry mouths, and I watch them standing on the edge of their nest, you know, testing their wings out and fluttering and stretching, and I watch the parents come back and forth and back and forth. And I thought, okay, I don't know that those birds love their babies the way I love my children. I don't know what bird emotion is. Unless it's a turkey, you know, or a crow. You're pretty sure what a crow or raven has some feelings about things. But I don't know if swallows have feelings about their babies. But what I do know is that there is an urge in them to reproduce, to keep adding to life. There is an investment that they have in making sure these babies are fed and cared for and protected if there's ever rain. And they do this thing, which I'm going to call love. Not because the birds have an emotion about their babies. I don't know that. But I know that they have this urge in them to continue life and to nurture life. And if that's not a definition of love, one of them, then I don't know what is, actually. So we have to expand our ideas about love from something that's beyond just an emotion. It's an important part of our human experience. It's a vital part of our human experience. It's necessary for us to continue life, to hold, to nurture, to express, to accept love. That's vital for us. But I also know that love is something that magnetizes and binds all things. I've talked about this before, but the photos that we're seeing from the Webb telescope, from deep, deep space, give us a different idea of what God is, what the universe is, what life is. And yesterday, I think it was yesterday, our friend Carol Price reposted that beautiful color-enhanced microscopy of DNA. So that you can see all the beautiful elements in DNA. So you can look at that universe, which is smaller than we can imagine, and you can look at the Webb photographs, which is larger than we can imagine. That's all love, my friends. That is love, because it is an expression, it's a snapshot, if you will, of the divine. So if you are looking to have a definitive explanation of that which is mysterious, you're going to be disappointed, because we can only know the part that we can see today and later today and tomorrow and next year. That's how we explore God, and that's how we explore love. All the time, in all places, and in all ways. And you see, if you begin to let the mystery tinge everything that you see, it awakens something in you that is larger and more powerful and more unexplainable than anything, and we use the word love to describe it. It's that fullness. It's that acceptance. It's that moment of timelessness in which you are suspended between the past and the future and the questions. You're just there. And to try to begin to define it diminishes its impact. Are you with me? So this week, I want you to know that we have a community here that is invested in the well-being of everyone else in the community. I want you to know that. That is who you are. That is what you're expressing. You are sharing your insights and your caring and your positive regard for others right here, right now. Our chaplains post every Friday to share their inspirations with you. These are not people that are trained theologically. They don't need to be. Let me tell you something. Theological training just gives you words to put around your experience. That's what theological training does. It gives you a nice, simple recipe for cornbread. And then you get in the kitchen and you discover you're out of cornmeal and probably eggs. And you need to make some kind of a souffle. That's what theological training does for you. It just gives you a place to jump off. So what's important is that you know that there is a deep spiritual wisdom in you that is consistently revealing itself to you. So when our chaplains post, they post words of inspiration that has resonated with them, trusting that they resonate with you. So on Friday, our chaplain for that day, Ann, I think it was you, posted words from Father Richard Rohr, who has been talking about love this week from the Center for Contemplative Action. People who know God well, mystics, hermits, those who risk everything to find God, always meet a lover, not a dictator. How different from the account manager most people seem to worship. You can think about that for a minute. Yes, I see you did this, but you did not do that. You did this bad thing. Actually, you did several bad things. And this one thing, do they balance? Sorry, you got to do more good things. No. How different from the account manager most people seem to worship. We're afraid to ask for this love. We're afraid to seek. It feels presumptuous. We can't trust that such a love exists, but it does. Now, he doesn't go on to say, and it looks like this, and it looks like this, and it looks like this. In this example, he tells you what God is not. But he also talks about bringing love into concrete action. He says love won't be real or tested unless we somehow live close to the disadvantaged, who frankly teaches that we know very little about love. To be honest, my male Franciscan seminary training didn't teach me how to love. It taught me how to obey and conform, but not to love. I'm still trying every day to learn how to love. As we endeavor to put love into action, we realize that on our own, we are unable to obey Jesus' command, love one another as I have loved you. To love as Jesus loves, we must be connected to the source of love. So let me just set aside right now any feelings that you might have that somehow you're not worthy of love because you're still thinking about the account manager. You're still thinking that you've done something or been something that keeps you from knowing God's love, that keeps God from loving you. I would like for you to just take that and gently place it under your chair, and we will clean up after the service. You can leave it right here. There is nothing that you have said, done, or been. There is no error of commission or omission that you are guilty of that separates you from God's love. There is nothing. Are we clear? Well, I'm just going to ask you, are we clear about that?
Yes.
Thank you. Because I would not want you walking out of here today feeling unloved. It is there. And then we figure out all the different textures and colors of it. We talked about it this last Wednesday night in our Atlas of the Heart class. And you notice that I'm drawing inspiration from Carol and from Anne, Bruce, from you, because I was trying just off the top of my head to think of the different definitions of love that the Greeks had, and I could only think of three, and Bruce said, oh, no, there's seven. So I took that challenge, thank you, Bruce, and looked them up. So here's the way the Greeks were defining love. There's eros, which is romantic, passionate love. There's philia, which is intimate, authentic friendship. There's eroteropia, or ludus, playful, flirtatious love. There is storge, which is unconditional, familial love. I hope I say this right, philotia, compassionate self-love. Compassionate self-love. Pragma, committed, companionate love. And agape, empathetic, universal love. So if I went through that list with you and you say, oh, yeah, I know that one. I know that one, too. Oh, that one, that's been a while. The other one, yes. Oh, this one, I need to work on that one a little bit. Yay. You can do this for yourself. Google Greek types of love. And maybe have a little list. And see which one or ones you'd like to practice for the day. It's important for us to love, my friends. As a matter of fact, if what's built into our love bank, our love capacity, is the absolute necessity to spend from that bank. And if we don't spend from the bank, it gets dusty, it gets stagnant, it gets weak, and we don't have anything flowing. If the bank isn't open, then there's nothing coming in either. So don't close those doors. Keep the bank open and spend freely, because guess what? It's never going to run out. There will never be a deficit in your love bank. It's FDIC protected. You will never lose it. It will always be there. Now, here's something that's a little more difficult to talk about. We see a lot of not loving going on out there in the world right now. A lot of not loving. And the only thing really that's going to fix our world has to start with love. It has to start there. All our social action, all our contributory dollars, they have to have love behind them. Not vengeance. Not I'll show you. That doesn't sound very loving, does it? It has to come from a place of love that says, I am for this. I will stand in love with this. Father Richard also cited a woman named Dorothy Day, who served in New York, the poorest people there. She said, whenever I groan within myself and think how hard it is to keep writing about love in these times of tension and strife. She died in 1980. So listen to the words from that context today. How hard it is to keep writing about love in these times of tension and strife, which may at any moment become for all of us a time of terror. I think to myself, what else is the world interested in? What else do we all want, each one of us, except to love and be loved in our families, in our work, in all our relationships? God is love. Love casts out fear. Even the most ardent revolutionist seeking to change the world, to overturn the tables of the money changers, is trying to make a world where it is easier for people to love, to stand in that relationship to each other. We want with all our hearts to love, to be loved. It is when we love the most intensely and most humanly that we can recognize how tepid is our love for others. The keenness and intensity of love brings with it suffering, of course, but joy too, because it is a foretaste of heaven. When you love people, you see all the good in them, all the Christ in them. God sees Christ, the Son, in us and loves us. And so we should see Christ in others and nothing else. And love them. There can never be enough of it. There can never be enough thinking about it. St. John of the Cross said that where there was no love, put love and you would take out love. The principle certainly works. Love and ever more love is the only solution to every problem that comes up. If we love each other enough, we will bear with each other's faults and burdens. If we love enough, we're going to light that fire in the hearts of others. And it is love that will burn out the sins and hatreds that sadden us. It is love that will make us want to do great things for each other. No sacrifice and no suffering will seem then too much. Prophetic words, I would say. So you see, we follow the example in this church, in Christianity, for the most part, in Christianity. We follow the teachings of a master who was a revolutionary. And in today's terms, he would probably be called a socialist, because he didn't just hang out with people that were like him. He hung out with the people nobody else wanted to hang out with. Against his own upbringing, oh my God, against his own upbringing. He hung out with other people that weren't like him. Everybody despised the tax collectors. He said, come on, let's have lunch. He hung out with the people who were beggars and said, there is something richer for you than you can imagine right now. He hung out with people that were tired of waiting to be healed, and the people that were tired of them waiting to be healed. Like, eh. And he said, come on, I've got healing. Listen to my words. Do you want to believe these? You'll be healed. He hung out with the disenfranchised. He hung out with kids. You know? He had women all around him. When women were considered more property than not, he treated them as equals. So he was pretty radical. Even if he didn't do all the things that are in the scriptures, we got the drift. You know? And there's something in us that resonates with that. There's something in us that has us looking for that same spirit in the other person that is in us. We're familiar with it. And we look for it. And some days we see it and it reflects so brightly back toward us that we're blinded and we can know that we can only see it because it exists in us. And it's the same for the people who do not know their own light. We look in there and we see their brokenness, their anger, their sadness, their apartness. And we say, yes, beloved, I know those feelings. And I know that love binds us, no matter what. Act like a fool. That's okay. I'm not saying to be foolish with your love, but I'm saying err on the side of it. Why not? You know? Be wise and be loving. Be wisdom. Be the quality of wisdom and be the quality of love. Those things can coexist. Very happily, I might add. So this world is calling for a ton of love right now. A ton of it. Because right now, there is racial division. Racial disparity, there's misogyny, there is the setting apart them, us. I don't want the kind of love that judges other people. I don't want to practice that. I don't want to stand here and say, we believe this way, therefore all those other people are wrong. But I do want to say, let us stand where we stand and stand there firmly with love and take things into action where we are so guided. I'll share with you one last reading that we had this week. I have not read enough of the author Bell Hooks. This is about love. Hear this. In the context of love, refusal to stand up for what you believe in weakens individual morality and ethics, as well as those of the culture. Listen to that again. Refusal to stand up for what you believe in weakens individual morality and ethics, as well as those of the culture. No wonder, then, that we are a nation of people, the majority of whom, across race, class, and gender, claim to be religious, claim to believe in the divine power of love, and yet collectively remain unable to embrace a love ethic and allow it to guide behavior. especially if doing so would mean supporting radical change. Fear of radical changes leads many citizens of our nation to betray their minds and hearts. Wow. Fear of radical changes leads many citizens of our nation to betray their minds and hearts. And Brené Brown says we need more real love, not rainbow and unicorn love or commercialized love. We need gritty, dangerous, wild-eyed, justice-seeking love. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Isn't that exciting? Not, I'm going to demonstrate hard. I'm going to love hard, and it's going to show up as a demonstration. I'm going to vote with the deepest love in my heart. I am going to take care of those who need taking care of without condition, out of love. The great binding force, the radical changing force. So where does your love take you? Where does your love take you? I got kind of loud there for a second, didn't I? It's from love. It's from love. Because love makes us courageous. It makes us honest. It makes us passionate. It makes us convicted. It makes us generous. It makes us kind. I want to be all those things, don't you?
Yes.
Don't you just? I know I'm preaching to the choir here. I know you all. I know. But these people that I read from today, they're my pep talk. And I want to share my pep talk with you. Because we're stronger when we do this together. We're better when we do this together. We're more wise. We're more focused. We're good. And if we can't do that as a community, then... So bring food for the kids that need it this summer for the crisis bread basket. If you can't bring it, send a check to them. Continue to support people who are supporting those in Ukraine. Do something nice for your neighbor. Reduce your watering. That's an act of love, isn't it? You know, grass has been crispy and dead before. It'll come back. It's an act of love. So if that makes you an outlier among your family and friends, go ahead and wear it proudly. Because I don't think we have a choice, do you? We can't say we want to see the world be better if we're not willing to do this. If we're not willing to love totally, if we're not willing to just keep fanning that flame and letting it roar. Wild-eyed, I like that. Wild-eyed love. I see love in you from right here. It's alive in you. Together, we're a mighty force, my friends. Unity of Wimberley and beyond. You out there. We're a mighty force. Don't forget. And on the days when you're tired, take a look at DNA. Take a look at deep space and go, yeah, me. I'm that. If the same thing that created all of that created me, I can do what needs to be done. I can be who I need to be. I can be who I was created to be. I can do that. And it can be a tiny whisper or a mighty roar. Whatever suits you best. Love. Let's take a moment. Just breathe into that deep heart of yours. You know, the wells around this area right now are low. People are digging deeper. And if you will, just imagine sinking deep, deep, deep into your heart the way you sink into the mother to find water. And in that deep, cool, quiet, refreshing place is the fan and the flame. It's the quiet whisper and the mighty roar. It is the element of God that heals all things. Heals everything. It heals everything. So if you forgot who you are, remember, when you arrived here on the planet, innocent and pure and close to the angels, you began to forget, and life piled its layers of misinformation on you, and the messages in your mind contributed to the forgetting. But in an instant, we're restored to that innocent self that is now layered with wisdom and experience and sorrow and joy, richer and deeper, fully matured now. Bring the gift forth in every way. And if your life has already been about giving generously of your love, then today, see what love has to reveal to you that will expand your awareness, your wisdom, your capacity for loving. Breathe, my friends, for you are the beloved of God. Be presumptuous enough to claim it. And remember, if there is anything in you that still makes you feel unworthy, you leave it here. And we will sweep it away with our love. And so it is. Amen.